Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What happened to music that meant something?
The Who at the Kingdom or Kiss at the Coliseum. Where is the Misty Mountain Hop? Where is the... Is the smoke on the water? Where is the Iron Man of today?
Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll.
After a relaxing Labor Day doing nothing at all, we imagine you, like us, again have work on the brain. I'm Greg Kot.
And I'm Jim DeRogatis. We're going to celebrate our nation's laborers with the best songs inspired by work. Then we'll review the new album by garage rocker Ty Siegel. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions. Listening to Sound Opinions from WBEZ and PRX, and now it's time for the best work songs, the perfect way to get back into the swing of things after the long Labor Day weekend. It's astounding to me how many great, I mean truly wonderful rock and roll songs are inspired by work. And it's astounding because basically the goal of every great rock and roller is to not work. Yeah, you know, is to avoid having to grow up and get a real job.
Very true. Very true indeed. So in honor of that, we're going to play some work songs that we love. An amazing subject area. Right alongside sex, God, death, there are work songs, and there are dozens and hundreds of them that I would classify as really classic songs. So in honor of that, Jim, to see who starts, let's do a traditional Sound Opinions coin flip. We have a specially minted coin for the occasion.
On one side, we've got James Brown, who for the longest time was the hardest working man in show business. And on the flip side, we've got Jack White, easily today's hardest working man in show business. He runs his own record company, he's in about 17 bands, produces other artists, he's revolutionized the vinyl business, and on and on. So I'm going to take Jack. The coin's in the air, and it's Jack White.
You know, when I was researching this particular song, it was interesting because it was by a group from the early 60s, The Animals. And on the inner sleeve of the particular album, they gave one of those little Tiger Beat outlines, you know, your favorite color is, and, you know, if you weren't a musician, you'd be. And they listed the former occupations of the Animals, and these were true working class guys out of Newcastle, you know, the north of England, where if you weren't somebody famous, you would end up working in a factory probably. So you were looking at Eric Burdon, and he lists his former occupations as postman and draftsman and laborer. And there was another one that was an instrument maker, another one who was an income tax officer, another who was a machinist. These guys grew up in a blue-collar town and were consigned to blue-collar lives. So this song really hits home for me. It hits home personally for this band as well, and I think that's why they invested so much in it. Even though it was not originally written by them, it was originally written by Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, two of the great songwriters out of the Brill Building in New York. Now, they talked about this song on our show a few months ago, but the Animals changed some of the lyrics to personalize them and make them more applicable to their upbringing. When they were talking about the dirty old heart of the city, they were talking about Newcastle. And they were talking about their old man sitting there, a broken down relic of what he used to be because he had been a blue-collar laborer his entire life. And the whole notion of, you know, we got to get out of this town. We got to get out of this place.
Yeah.
You know, get on to a better life. Be a rock and roll band because we don't want to work for a living, as you said at the top. It's one of the main reasons to be in a rock and roll band. So here it is, The Animals. We got to get out of this place on Sound Opinions.
In this dirty old part of the city where the sun refused to shine, people tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now, my girl, you're so young and pretty. One thing I know is true, you'll be dead before your time is due, I know. Watch my daddy in bed and crying, watch his hand been turning gray. He's been working and slaving his life away, oh yes, I know. One thing I know is true, yeah, you'll be dead before your time is due, know it. Watch my daddy in bed and die, watch his hand been turning gray. He's been working and slaving his life away, I know he's been working so hard.
That's The Animals kicking off our songs about labor with We Gotta Get Out of This Place from 1965. Jim, what do you got?
Well, Mr. Cott, you know, it seems to me that many of our holidays are robbed of their original meaning. I mean, Labor Day initially was a day to celebrate union people. You know, we forget about that. It's just like end of summer is a holiday, right? But it means something still in America, I think, to be a blue-collar union member. And I think the song that celebrates that best was written by a Brit, you know, looking in at our society in 1970. The first John Lennon solo album, John Lennon Plastic Ono Band. I'm talking, of course, about Working Class Hero. In the interview he gave to Rolling Stone magazine at the time, that famous chat, he said, you know, this is a song for the revolution. You know, John still believed in it at that point. This is celebrating the working man who is being beaten down. If he can't assimilate and become part of the machine, the middle class, the capitalistic dream, he's beaten down into submission. An extraordinary statement. The music really drives home the lyrics, you know, that stomping beat, working hard and being beaten into submission at the same time. They've tortured and scared you for 20-odd years, then they expect you to pick a career. Lennon was a bitter man. Even though he had succeeded, he never forgot that Liverpool working-class mentality. He didn't want that. A working-class hero is something to be. That's what his take on it was. Here it is on Sound Opinions.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be. Working class hero is something to be. They hurt you at home and they hit you at school. They hate you if you're clever and they despise a fool. Till you're so buff crazy you can't follow their rules. Working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. When they've tortured and scared you for 20 odd years, then they expect you to pick a career. When you can't really function, you're so full of fear. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. Keep you doped with religion and sex and TV. You think you're so clever and classless and free, but you still make of peasants as far as I can see. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. There's room at the top, they are telling you still. But first you must learn how to smile as you kill. If you want to be like the folks on the hill. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.
Working Class Hero from John Lennon, one of Jim DeRogatis' picks as a great song about work. I couldn't agree more, Jim. First couple of songs we played here, kind of dark, you know?
A little bit.
Not a happy thing if you're a working man sometimes.
Well, work is not a happy thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to play a song next that actually celebrates the working class life, at least to a degree. It's a song called Cleaning Windows by Van Morrison, in which he was looking back on his young life as a teenager growing up in Belfast in Ireland, early 60s. You know, he's a day laborer, cleaning windows, you know, lunch break, you know, lemonade and buns, smoking cigarettes, and daydreaming about his next life, about the life that he wanted to live, and that was a life of art, a life surrounded by music and books. He was name-dropping people like Muddy Waters and Jimmy Rogers and Lead Belly and Jack Kerouac in this song. He was a guy who had to pay the bills, working his job, and he was going to do darn well at it. He wasn't going to shirk on cleaning windows. He was going to do that to the best of his abilities. But what he really wanted to do was play saxophone in the band that he was playing with at night and later on forge a career out of it. So you can hear Van at an early stage in his life thinking about the future, even as he was a proud working man on cleaning windows. Van Morrison on Sound Opinions.
Oh, the smell of the bakery from across the street got in my nose. Yeah. Yeah, we carried our letters down the street with the wrought iron gate rose. I went home and listened to Jimmy Rogers in my lunch break. Bought 5 woodbine at the shop on the corner and went straight back to work. Oh, Sam was up on top and I was on the bottom with the V. We went for lemonade and Paris buns at the shop and broke for tea. Watch out. From the lady, and I cleaned the fan light inside out. I was blowing saxophone on the weekend in a down joint. What's my life? I'll have to be cleaning windows. Take my time. I'll see you when my love grows. Baby, don't let it slide. I'm a working man in my prime, cleaning windows. Number 36.
Cleaning Windows by Van Morrison, Mr. Kott's second great rock and roll work song. Coming up on Sound Opinions, we'll continue our post-Labor Day special and review the latest from California songwriter Ty Siegel. We'd also like to hear from you. Want to talk about a work song or share any of your sound opinions? Call 888-859-1800. You can also email interact@soundopinions.org or check us out on Facebook and Twitter.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind. Just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in.
The time to rise has been engaged. The better best to rearrange. I'm talking here to me alone. I listen to the finest work song. Your finest hour. Your finest hour.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot, and we're celebrating Labor Day with songs inspired by the idea of work. And that, of course, is REM with Finest Work Song. Jim, what's your next pick?
Greg, as we've said, dozens and dozens of great choices in this genre. I had a list. I was having a hard time narrowing it down, and then I realized I can't do this show and not do The Clash. These guys really knew about the drudgery of working, the jobs that were being offered them in the mid-70s to keep them off the dole, England's version of unemployment. None of them were very appealing. Mick Jones had actually worked for the British government opening mail to make sure there weren't letter bombs that were going to blow up some bureaucratic official. That's a line in this song. I hate the civil service rules. I won't open letter bombs for you. Joe Strummer hated the Army, hated the RAF, hated basically every job that was being offered to him as a young man in Thatcherite England. Sort of a similar situation, you know, today, that all these years later, the economy is so dire, people are getting out of college, and there are no career opportunities. The jobs that they've worked so hard to train for and spend all that money in college studying about, they're not there, and they're going to go make coffee somewhere, and that just really stinks. Anyway, this is a song that cheers you up just because of the sheer adrenaline of it. Yeah, it's a bad situation. I got no job. I got no prospects. I got no career opportunities, but The Clash somehow make it celebratory. From that wonderful first self-titled Clash album, Career Opportunities on Sound Opinions.
Never not. Every job they offer used to keep you up the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never not. I hate the Army and I hate the RAF. I don't wanna go fighting in the jungle. I hate the civil service blue. I won't open letter bomb for you. Career opportunity, the one that never not. Every job they offer used to kick you off the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never knock.
Oi, 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 oi,
job they offer is to kick you out the door. Career opportunity, the world that never knocks.
The Clash with Career Opportunities. Greg, you've got another one. What are you going to play?
Jim, there is a poetry in writing about anything well, and I think one of the great poets in writing about the working man was Bob Marley, specifically in a song called Night Shift that he released in 1975. It was a very personal song for Marley. A lot of people may not realize that he spent quite a bit of time in the United States. He came here as a teenager from Jamaica to find work, and to Delaware specifically, and ended up working on an assembly line at the Chrysler plant. The late shift, the midnight shift. It was an interesting time in his life, and disorienting on a number of levels. First of all, you've got this Jamaican kid being caught up in a Delaware winter, and secondly, the whole notion of being up in the middle of the night when the rest of the world is asleep, and then coming out into the sunlight and realizing your day is ending. So there was a sense of disorientation that I think he captured perfectly in this song. He was talking about the notion of working hard for a living. He was talking about the whole idea that this is the only way I can eat. I have to do this. And at the same time, this notion of this is about as tough as it gets, you know, having to work hard labor in the middle of the night when the rest of the world is blissfully unaware of what you're doing. Here it is, Night Shift from Bob Marley on Sound Opinions.
The sun shall not smite I by day, nor the moon by night, and everything that I do shall be upful and right. And if it's all night, it got to be all right. If it's all night, got to be all right. Your mama don't lose, doesn't want your lucky one. From AM,
if you say that, why did you say that?
To PM,
working all night.
Working on a night
shift, yeah.
Why
did you say that? Up for life.
Well, if it's
all night,
if it's
all
if
night,
it's all night,
all night.
Well,
all
you're
night.
Empty. Suitcases
all night,
bust on my brow
all right,
eat your bread
all night,
sweat on my brow
all right,
eat your bread all night.
Night Shift, Bob Marley from 1975, a great song about work. Jim, what do you got next?
You know, Greg, good point about Marley being a poet of the often mundane or the minor details in life. But I think the guy who won the all-time award for that in rock history was Lou Reed. He certainly wrote songs about dramatic things, you know, on the very first Velvet's album, sadomasochistic sex, heroin, etc. It seems like we always choose a Lou Reed song when we do these kinds of shows, in part, Greg, because I think Lou Reed wrote about everything. During his long career, Greg, he made poetry of mundane things as well as very dramatic things. And he wrote two great songs about work. One was on the Songs for Drella, talking about how Andy Warhol's attitude toward making art was that it's work, just work, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, my favorite is on Legendary Hearts in 1983, Don't Talk to Me About Work. Mm. Now, this was the second of those albums that Reed made with the incredible guitarist Robert Quine, who died in 2004. The best musical pairing he had apart from John Cale. The music was incendiary, and Reed was inspired. He was newly sober. He realized at that point that he'd been lucky to never have to work, and he never wanted to. He connected with the people that had to. "Don't talk to me about work," you know, he says over and over again. "I'm up to my eyeballs in dirt with work, with work." Who hasn't felt that way? Here's Lou Reed on Sound Opinions.
Don't Talk to Me About Work by Lou Reed on Sound Opinions, a perfect fit for this show's theme, even though we're talking a lot about work. For my next pick, Jim, I want to go with The Jam, who are one of those bands, as you said, who are chroniclers of the everyday in much the same manner as Lou Reed was. People talk about Paul Weller as being one of the great songwriters of his generation, inheriting the torch of Ray Davies and Pete Townsend and passing it on down the line to people like Morrissey. And Weller was certainly the voice in The Jam, the main songwriter, but his bassist and collaborator, Bruce Foxton, I think matched him on this particular song, and I think it is a great song about the common man and the laborer. Earlier I played an Animal song, which is talking about the blue-collar life. The Jam's Smithers Jones talks about the middle-class life, that sort of post-war Eisenhower America vision that was also true in England about, the nice little home and the 9-to-5 job and the family with two kids. That was the dream of somebody who was raised in the middle class.
It's Mad Men, that show Mad Men.
Exactly. And what is it exactly that's being exacted here? What price is being paid? To my mind, what makes this song so powerful is not so much stick to that man, that lousy boss, he's going to keep the thumb on you. It's more about the poignance of this guy and the hopefulness and the sort of naive optimism that he has that, I'm going to get that promotion and I want to work to get ahead. He's always a few minutes early for work and he's always on time when he's waiting at the tube stop to get picked up to go to work. And then yet the disappointment at the end that comes when he doesn't get what he wants and what does he have left. I think the personal details in the song are what make it work and I think make it a great song about the working life. Smithers Jones from The Jam on Sound Opinions.
Here we go again, it's Monday at last, he's heading for the water. To catch the alien bastards, you'll be dead on time. Hope it isn't late, got to be there by 9. This right suit, clean shirt and tie. Stops up at the corner shops and by the times. Good morning, Smithers Jones. How's the wife back home? Did you get the car you've been looking for? Did you get the car you've been looking for?
Smithers Jones from The Jam, that is actually the B-side version of the song, the stripped-down version. It appeared in a more orchestrated version on the Setting Suns record, but that's the original version of that song.
Digging deep, Mr. Cott. I always heard that Jam song as an attempt to rewrite the Kinks' David Watts.
There you go.
Similar vein of tunes. You were talking about how Bruce Foxton of The Jam was too polite to want to stick it to the boss. I am going to end our Labor Day special with a great song about sticking it to the boss. The last real rock and roll record that the Flaming Lips made was Clouds Taste Metallic, before they became, you know, a circus act and a studio orchestra band. Bad Days is a song about you hate your boss at your job. You want to sometimes pick up a gun and blow his head off. You know, now I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm not encouraging violence out there, but who among us has not felt that way, right? Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips, the Oklahoma philosopher that he is, he has a solution. If you sleep late when you can, all your bad days will end. And isn't that true? You know, remember, this is what Labor Day weekend is all about. One final time of sleeping in, of doing nothing but laying around in the backyard, listening to fine tunes all weekend. And then Tuesday we go to work, okay? Here are the Flaming Lips with Bad Days from Clouds Taste Metallic on Sound Opinions.
You're sort of stuck where you are, but in your dreams you can buy expensive cars or live on Mars and have it your way. And you hate your boss at your job, but in your dreams you can blow his head off. In your dreams, show no mercy.
Bad Days by the Flaming Lips, wrapping up our Songs About Work playlist. We're going to take a break on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX. And when we return, a new album's up for review by Ty Siegel, and Jim adds a song he can't live without to the Desert Island Jukebox. Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot with Jim DeRogatis, and that's a track called Manipulator, the title track from the latest Ty Siegel album. Ty Siegel grew up in Southern California, now living in San Francisco. He's become one of the key players in that city's vibrant underground scene, punk, garage, you name it. Ty Siegel's been in a band and played that over the last 5, 6, 7 years. He's released 7 studio albums under his own name and dozens. I can't keep track, Jim, of the number of albums this guy has released, not only as the Ty Siegel Band, as Ty Siegel, but with numerous other collaborators over the last few years. 2012 was a breakthrough year for him when he had 3 releases. Hair with White Fence, released in April of that year, Slaughterhouse with his touring band in June, and then a solo album called Twins in October. That really bumped him up in terms of recognition and quality. All 3 of those albums highly acclaimed at the end of that year. In 2013, he started a new band called Fuzz because he simply wasn't working in enough projects as far as he was concerned. They released 3 singles, and then he put out an acoustic record called Sleeper, and now we have a new Ty Siegel album, Manipulator. Here's a track called The Clock from Ty Siegel on Sound Opinions.
That was The Clock by Ty Siegel from his 7th official studio solo album, Manipulator. And Greg, I just love that arpeggiated guitar line. I'm just a sucker for that. It reminds me very much of the Paisley underground sound, that psychedelic, sunny San Francisco revival in the 80s. You know, going back to the psychedelic roots of the 60s, updating them in the indie rock way. There was an interesting piece in The Guardian about Ty Segall, comparing him to Nick Solomon, better known by psychedelic rock fans as the Bevis Frond, and also Robert Pollard of Guided by Voices. And while both of those guys were capable of brilliance in the constant flood of material they issued, I don't think they were nearly as consistent as Ty Segall. There are albums that are better than others, but, you know, if you look at the 17 tracks on this album, they're uniformly really great songs. They're sequenced well. It plays together wonderfully as a whole. There's a lot of that love kind of psychedelic pop vibe happening and other sounds. None of it is new and reinventing the wheel, but this is just an absolutely fantastic psychedelic pop record. I love it. It's another hit from Ty Segall, as far as I'm concerned. Another buy it.
Well, Ty Segall keeps raising the bar, Jim. I think with Slaughterhouse and Twins in 2012, he established that noisy, abrasive side of his vocabulary very well. And then Sleeper in 2013 showed the acoustic, more contemplative side of what he could do. You know, I went back and read my review of Sleeper last year, and I said it makes you wonder what Segall could accomplish if he ever distilled all his best music, all his influences, into one album a year. Instead of putting out three or four albums a year, why not try one and see what happens? And lo and behold, I think he's done it with Manipulator. I think this is the one album where he really integrates all sides of his musical personality, because we'd usually only get a piece of it on those previous albums. This is the one where I think the sprawl of it, the 17 songs, hitting all those bases, as you mentioned, the psych folk thing. Other reference point, you know, he's a big fan of that glam rock era, especially the very early stuff of like T-Rex and Bowie, and a huge fan by extension of Tony Visconti, a previous guest on this show, as was Ty Segall. Visconti was one of those guys who got the dirt and the grime, but also recorded it very well, very cleanly, very precisely. And I think if there was an issue with Segall's recordings in the past, it that they sounded very dirty and lo-fi. I think he's really raised the ante here in terms of his production values, his ability to get precise sounds down on tape. And that's made all the difference, because the songs really come to the fore now. You can really hear those melodies. You can hear those really articulated guitar lines. You can hear how good of a guitar player he was. You know, before there'd be those walls of fuzz. So I think Segall, even though he's incredibly prolific and all the albums start to sound the same a little after a while, this one really is above all the others. I think it's the best thing he's done so far, and it's a buy it record for me.
I tell you, little buddy, this whole island is bewitched.
Remember, we were shipwrecked together.
Stranded, I'm so far from home. Stranded, yeah, I'm on my own. Stranded, you gotta leave me alone, cause I'm stranded on my own.
As often as possible on Sound Opinions, we like to swim out to the desert island, pop a quarter in the desert island jukebox, and play a song we cannot live without. And Jim, this week it's your turn.
Thank you, Greg. One of my favorite guests on Sound Opinions ever was back in 2012 when we had the great Bootsy Collins in here. And ever since then, I've been thinking of Delight's big breakthrough single in 1990, Groove is in the Heart, which had Bootsy as a guest, you'll recall. I love Delight. I discovered him in 1989 at the New Music Seminar in New York. They were just like there, you know, handing out copies of their CD single. Usually critics throw that stuff away. I kept this, I played it, and it was Groove is in the Heart. What a fantastic song. That's how most people know them and remember them. Three artists, the Lady Miss Keir, DJ Dimitri from Secaucus, New Jersey, and a Japanese producer named Toa Tei. A huge hit with that single, and then disappeared for many people. The debut album was strong, consistently world click, but they put out a second record in 92, Infinity Within. And if world click was about sort of global harmony and peace in that great early 90s rave way, Infinity Within was about getting political and how you can help change the world. Stop messing up the ozone layer. There was a song called Vote Baby Vote, which was about the motor voter drive to register people to vote with driver's registration. A share of the proceeds was going to Greenpeace, and they had this new eco pack because the dreaded jewel case was filling up landfills. And then there was this song, Rubber Lover. We have to put this in some context. You know, the early 90s were a terrifying time still, with the world fighting this plague of AIDS and some people being reluctant to educate about safe sex. And yet it was necessary because sex could kill you. This is a song about sexual liberation, but with brains and with safety in mind. Rubber Lover, being safe. And it has Bootsy Collins coming back and giving a couple of enthusiastic shout outs to this concept in the middle of it. It's every bit as great, as far as I'm concerned, as anything on the first album, as Groove Is in the Heart. That wonderful Chicago house sound updated with an early 90s rave consciousness and a lot of New York attitude. That's what Delight was all about. Here is Rubber Lover on Sound Opinions. That was the great Delight with Rubber Lover, my Desert Island Jukebox pick for the week. Greg, what do we have on the show next week?
Jim, next week we're going to do an album dissection of one of the greatest live albums of all time, James Brown Live at the Apollo.
Sound Opinions is produced by Jason Saldana, Robin Lynn, and Anthony Martinez, and our intern has been Sam Taylor. Good luck, Sam. On Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic, so give us a call on our hotline, 888-859-1800.
New messages.
Hi, this is John from Chicago, and I just heard your report about T-Bone Burnett making songs out of Bob Dylan's basement tapes, unreleased songs. I think it's a great idea. In the wrong hands, it would be a mistake, but I do think that T-Bone Burnett is talented enough and creative enough that, much like some of the better tribute albums like Dedicated and the like, I'm curious to hear other bands interpret Dylan's songs and in the secure hands of T-Bone Burnett.
Well, I knew I was young.
I wanted to join, so I stayed by myself and took out a coin.
there I sat with my eyes in my head. Just contemplated killing a man.
Hi, this is Lori from Montclair. I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed your show today on new wave music of the early 80s. I do want to give a shout out to Lena Lovitch and Devo. You know, Girl You Want and New Toy and Lucky Number. I mean, these are amazing songs with all that synthesized music that was absolutely infectious.
I don't want
a love-hate relationship with all that synthesized music, but you can't deny it. We had a great time dancing to it, and it was really great just reliving it with you guys today.
My name is Mickey from Louisiana. Thank you for an hour of walking down memory lane, or at least for a segment of walking down memory lane. But I think you forgot some Chicks. I think you forgot some Kate Bush. I think you forgot some Go-Go's, some Vanity Six, some Bow Wow Wow, some Romeo Boy, The Waitresses.
I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I know what boys like. I got what boys like.
But it was really fun, but I guess it just shows that there was just so much good music in the 80s, and I really thank you for reminding me. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
I know what boys like. Boys like. Boys like.
Hi, this is Noel from Palm Springs, California. I wanted to thank you for the New Wave show. It was fantastic. There was just a couple of mistakes that I think should be clarified. Lori implied that Adamant jumped from punk to pop, which isn't quite right. Bazooka Joe was the band he had who were the punks that Sex Pistols opened up for, but his first Adam and the Ants recording is the spectacular Dirk Wears White Sox, which is really one of the best post-punk albums of the 80s, really cryptic and complex and led to a more so-called new romantic look and sound, and then leading to Adamant going solo and doing a more pure pop sound.
Lock up your brain, 'cause I'm here again. I'm never bored, I'm still your core. Xerox machine. Xerox machine.
Great show, keep it up. The genre dissections are the best. Thanks.
No more messages.
To give us your opinions on Sound Opinions, call our hotline, 888-859-1800. We'll be back next week with more Sound Opinions, produced by WBEZ Chicago and distributed by PRX.